From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. What do you think about the apartment boom in Seattle? Yeah, you heard me right. Not apartments, apartments. Those are those tiny rental units with shared kitchens. They've been called the modern-day equivalent of single-room occupancy hotels. The Seattle City Council is considering a moratorium on apartments. Supporters say they're filling a critical need. What do you think? I'm at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Maybe you live in an apartment or you'd like to. It's 800-289-5869. Maybe you're organizing your neighborhood to oppose apartments there. Write to me, conversation@kuow.org. Now, the critics complain that apartment developers avoid environmental and design review. Patrick Tompkins lives near Group Health on Capitol Hill. He's a founding member of a group called the Capitol Hill Coalition. He told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel why he's critical of the apartment boom.
No one seems to have thought through what's going to be the long-term consequence for the neighborhood of having structures built where people are not encouraged to put down roots and stay for a long time. This is an entirely new housing type. Now, new housing types are a good thing, and the land use code really should be flexible in allowing people to innovate. In this case, they didn't do that at all.
At issue is a loophole in the city land use code. In Seattle, a single dwelling unit is defined in large part whether or not it has a kitchen, and a building with nine kitchens triggers a design review. That means that buildings with dozens of apartments but only seven or eight kitchens are able to avoid review.
I think this was the result of some developers very carefully reading the land use code and realizing that there was a loophole in the land use code that revolved around the definitions of what a dwelling unit was and what a household was, and realized that they could come in and build very large structures without having to go through the very tedious process of design review.
Patrick Tompkins from the Capitol Hill Coalition talking to KUOW's Jeannie Yandel. Now, on the other side of the apartment debate, supporters say the bottom line is more cheap apartments are needed. Dane Carrito works as a hotel manager for a luxury cruise line based in Seattle, and he's away from town working on ships, so it doesn't make much sense to keep a place full-time, and that's where the apartments come in. He currently rents a 200-square-foot space in a building near Group Health on Capitol Hill.
So you can see how much room there is. So I like this one because it had the big windows. I have to have that light in my life, otherwise I feel like I'm in a shoebox.
Dane's rent is $775 a month. That includes water, utilities, and the internet. He's got a private bathroom, bed, desk, and he shares a kitchen. The building he's in has 56 units and under eight kitchens. So that means that the developer who built it was able to skip environmental and design review. Critics say that the 56-unit building can pop up with little consideration for its fit in the neighborhood or its impact on sewers or on parking. Well, the city's Department of Planning and Development sees it as an eight-kitchen building. So the city council, as I mentioned, is considering whether they need to tighten up these regulations. But I wanted to ask you what you think about it. It's 206-543-5869. Do you think the apartments are a good idea? Do you think they are a problem for neighborhoods? It's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Perhaps you live in another city where the apartment movement has taken hold and is even more mature than it is here. What have you noticed the impact of that is? It's conversation@kuow.org. Now, another thing to consider, people on the side of apartments say they hope it will keep the city from gentrification. Neighborhoods like Capitol Hill have become so expensive that some younger people are being priced out. And a number of 18 to 24-year-olds is expected to decline faster than any other age group on South Capitol Hill over the next 4 years. So supporters like Erica Barnett writing at Publicola say apartments provide affordable housing to people who would otherwise not be able to live in the city. This lengthy design review process that it might take to get an ordinary apartment house online might make that harder to attain, say those who support it. 206-543-5869. Chelsea is listening to us today, and she's listening to us over in Bellevue. Chelsea, good afternoon.
I think having apartments and other small apartments is a great idea. I think that it is important to address the issues of parking and, sewage system and all of those other things. But just like when the sewage system came online in the first place, modern codes had to be upgraded and adapted. And so, too, when smaller apartments or apartments come online, so, too, will our zones and regulations have to be adapted.
Do you live in Bellevue, Chelsea, where you're calling from today?
Yes.
And are there apartments in Bellevue, or are there apartments on the drawing board in Bellevue?
I don't know if there are any on the drawing board. There are none anywhere near me, but if they did spring up, I would hope that they were springing up with the intent of, with the address on the sewer system and on parking. But other than that, I think it's a great idea.
Would you or anyone you know want to live in an apartment?
No, I've got six people in my family.
Ah.
I would have when I was 20 stupid, but not with a half dozen people.
20 stupid? Is that an age?
It was for me.
Hey, Chelsea, thanks a lot for giving us a call. We've got Jeff on the line. He's calling today from Capitol Hill, which is kind of ground zero in many ways, where some of these apartments are going up. Jeff, thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, I live on Capitol Hill. I'm surrounded by a number of the apartment buildings. And an issue here is really the fact that the city just doesn't know what's going on. The Department of Planning has admitted to the council that they don't really know how to track these buildings. They can't see what they are when the plans come in. They're approving them anyway, and they've been giving them tax credits for building these kinds of buildings that the rest of us are having to pay additional taxes to support these kinds of buildings, but we don't get to have an opinion on the design review. We don't know how many are constantly being built. We don't know the long-term impacts of what's going to happen. These are apartments, and they need to go through the same standard process as everything else.
What are your concerns about the long-term impact of the apartments?
Well, part of it is just overcrowding. You know, frankly, these places get wedged into tiny lots between two standard family homes. So all of a sudden, 60 people are moving in next door to your tiny little house. That's a lot of traffic to be moving in and out. These streets are small up here. There's not room for that in all of these little tiny streets. We can put them on some of the bigger streets. But this infill of putting in so many people in such a tiny spot is complicated. It's very difficult for the neighborhood. It is changing the character a little bit just in terms of visually speaking. They don't necessarily match with anything that's here before. There's one down the street from me that's just a blank concrete wall facing the street with a tiny door in it because they didn't have to go through design review. So it's actually shuttering off parts of the neighborhood.
Yeah, so you have a problem in the way they look. You think they don't look so nice, and they could look nicer if they were following the design review regulations. But you also said something a moment ago I want to ask you about. You said our taxes on those of us who own homes or live in full apartment buildings are paying or subsidizing these other buildings. Well, how do you see that? Why is that?
Well, that's just recently come to light. Tom Rasmussen, I heard him grilling the Department of Planning last week about this. And these buildings are applying for a multifamily tax exemption credit, is my understanding. So they're telling the city on one hand that there are 56 affordable units, or at least some of them are affordable units, going into this building. So they're getting a tax credit for that. And that's a program that was set up where the rest of the taxpayers have to pay a little bit extra in order to make sure that those buildings get tax credits. And that was to make sure that we're supporting affordable housing in places like Capitol Hill. But then they've been turning around telling the city that they're only having 8 units there, so they're getting permitted without design review. So they're getting the best of both worlds right now, and the rest of us are having to kind of put up with it.
Jeff, thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks.
We're talking about apartments. If you haven't heard about them before, you will be soon. In fact, if you look around your neighborhood, you might see one going up if you live on Capitol Hill. It's certainly a very present issue there. And we're joined next by Abe. We're asking at 206-543-5869, what do you think about these two sides of the issue, those who think that they're really changing the character of neighborhoods, they could be causing overcrowding, and even the idea that taxes might be subsidizing them in a way that's inappropriate. Abe, thanks for taking the time to give us a call, Abe. What do you think about the apartments?
Well, I think they're actually good and bad. But I think the good outweighs the bad because, you know, for one thing, the economy's picking up. And I've been out of work for quite a while, since 08, and now I have work. Also, you know, it's putting locals to work. It's also helping local restaurants because, see, the downside of these buildings is that they don't have kitchens in every unit, but the upside is all these people are going to be hitting local restaurants, local hangouts. They're good for the university because all these university students, they need a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. I mean, we're attracting talent from all over the world to come here to Seattle to study at UW. And that makes a lot of money for the university, especially if they come from abroad. And they need a place that's affordable to stay. So really, I think that the good outweighs the bad. Really, a lot of the people that they're attracting for these. And by the way, they're rented out before they're built. They've already got a waiting list.
It sounds like they're really popular, so obviously the people want them. Abe, thanks a lot for your phone call. And Abe, also bring out the interesting point, and maybe you're a restaurateur or someone who runs a space on Capitol Hill, and the idea of more people isn't like overcrowding to you. It's actually kind of exciting to you because that means more customers, and you're okay with that. We're talking apartments, 206-543-5869, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at kuow.org. Now, what about people who advocate for low-income housing? Well, Seattle Displacement Coalition founder John Fox told Publicola he's kind of ambivalent about these apartments. He said on the one hand, he likes that they're reasonably affordable. On the other hand, he says they have a very modest impact on the larger problem of affordable housing. And he also points out that the price per square foot is still pretty high, and many of them are getting multifamily housing tax breaks. So maybe in return, the city should require that rents remain at an affordable level, some kind of rent restrictions. So he agrees about the likes of them in some ways, but with those qualifications. What do you think? Let's go to Sherry. She's listening to us today in my neighborhood of Ballard. Sherry, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Are there apartments in Ballard? I haven't noticed any, but I might not have.
I think there are some going up, or it might be just a low-income housing unit down by the library.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's apartments or not. But anyway, what do you want to say about them?
Well, I'm a low-income person, and it's these and these other, the huge, like Ava apartments, are jacking up the rents all over because of this. I don't think that's an affordable amount of rent for the amount of space and no kitchen. And if the university, if you, like your previous caller's talking about students and things, if the university likes that, they should subsidize that kind of housing then. I don't understand how $775 for a unit that does not have a kitchen is supposed to be livable or even considered nearly affordable.
So it doesn't sound affordable to you. It's not doing anything for you when it comes to finding a reasonable place to live at a price you can afford.
No. And I'm not a student, so I would like to have a kitchen because I can't afford to subsidize local businesses with my money. So.
And you don't want to share a kitchen?
No. No, I don't want to share a kitchen. It's gross.
Yeah. Hey, Sherry, thanks a lot for your phone call. Sherry doesn't want to share a kitchen, doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't see this as helping out. Let's go to Todd, who's listening to us today on Queen Anne. Todd, thanks for joining us today. I understand you're an architect.
Yes, I am. Architect in Seattle for many years.
And what do you think about the apartment issue?
Well, I think part of it is it's been around since the dawn of time. It's not like a new thing. What they used to be called is shared houses, and I participated in those as a landlord, but also as a young person where people would go to the U District area, they'd rent a house, and there would be, you know, seven people living in there that didn't know each other, that had one kitchen, and there was no control for the zoning, and the neighbors would complain. But under the same quote-unquote loopholes, those existed forever. Now they're just being better organized and better marketed. And actually, it's a better product. It's safer. It's organized. And people are saying, oh, the city is not aware of what's going on. That's far from true. The regulations that go into getting some of these things built are intense. Some of them are sprinklered. They all have fire smoke detectors. They all have proper exiting. They're not the people are making them sound like they're these little flop houses. Personally, I couldn't live in the size. I'm a small footprint guy, but some of them are really small, and the cost, I understand people can have concerns with that, but the market will, you know, it's better than what else is out there for many people.
Todd,
I'm very much for it.
We heard a little bit earlier the idea from someone up on Capitol Hill that these are causing overcrowding, that they might be overtaxing the sewer system, that they don't look very nice, that they have flat fronts that would not be allowed if they followed the regular zoning. As an architect, I'm sure you're attentive to those kind of issues. What do you think?
Well, I think we could go find a development that would be built in the, you know, in the exact same lot, and it would be, instead of having eight units with, let's say, five bedrooms per piece, it would be eight units with two bedrooms, and it would be sold as a townhouse, and it would be just as ugly.
Yeah,
I think Seattle needs to start to judge people for what they're buying, not just what they're building. Because friends of mine come from out of town, and they read about how great Seattle is, and they love it. And then we go drive around, and they go, "Wow, there is some ugly housing in this town." Yeah, I know, but it's supply and demand. The builders aren't required to make nice; they're just required to make.
Hey, Todd, we're going to have to leave you right now. Thanks a lot for taking the time to call. Thanks for participating in the conversation. You can also check us out at our Facebook page, KUOW's The Conversation, if you'd like to leave a comment there. We'll leave the last word to Mary, who writes, apartments are nothing more than dorm rooms. They have no place in residential neighborhoods. They contribute to the perpetual adolescence that so much of the population has fallen into. I can see her wagging her finger when she says that. Coming up next Monday, there's going to be another public meeting on apartments hosted by City Council Member Tom Rasmussen at Seattle's First Baptist Church. If you want to weigh in on it, that's next Monday from 6 to 8, Seattle's First Baptist Church. After that, the City Council's probably going to make a decision. No formal proposal yet. They could require design review, but it might have a lot to do with what you have to say to your council members about what you want them to do. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.